I know this is terribly arbitrary and subjective, but I think the point will be clear if you just answer the questions as best you can. Whom do you think enjoyed that music more? Mozart, when he was the instrument for its inception and conception into this world, when he brought it down from whatever world such music is heard. And then, by the way, there actually is a world in which the music, this great music, comes from. It actually exists. Do you think his enjoyment was greater, or the person that he first gave the music to that played it for him? Mozart. Why can you extrapolate? Why would Mozart's pleasure be greater than the person who first played the piece?
He
had a more direct relationship with it. Did he not?
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you think enjoyed the piece more? The man or woman who first played the piece, or the person who first heard the person who played the piece? The person who played the piece. Why? Because, yes, one step removed from being the original instrument, he is the second instrument. She is the second instrument, yes or no? And besides which, when you play a piece of music, you are moving, you are involved, your body is involved in the translation of the instrumentation. So more of you is involved in the expression than the person who just sits and listens with their ears. Do you follow this? Why is that important? Talking about the level of relationship, of participation with whatever it may be, including pain, which is why I'm bringing this up. You have all, to one degree or another, forgotten probably the singular greatest gift that can be given to a being. Hans Zimmer, the orchestrator that was spoken about before James played the Mozart piece, Mozart himself, every great scientist, musician, philosopher, mystic, they know something and live something that you've forgotten, but that you can remember. Do you know what it is that they know that you've forgotten? I didn't hear you.
Direct relationship.
Well, the word direct relationship, yeah, but what does it mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what this gift is that you've forgotten? Yours is the power, and it's a proper word, yours is the power to make anything there is in creation or even yet to be created tell you all about itself. I mean, the simplest example, the one that jumps into my mind, the Orville and Wilbur, not the popcorn inventors. You know, here's a couple of boys, and in them there is this impossible longing to fly like a bird. And they take their attention and they muster their intention and they capitalize themselves at whatever the cost is to make the commitment to it. And they give themselves to this wish to understand flight. And lo and behold, flying explains itself to them. Doesn't it? Your atom smashers, your great medical scientists who found out that there was these invisible microorganisms, these bacterium and viruses, things that were invisible. They little by little gave their attention to an innate and an intuition that was produced by a longing to understand something, and in doing so left themselves a slate that was empty enough to be written upon in a way that can only happen to a human being who understands this gift. And it isn't so much that one can even understand it as much as one must give themselves to the gift. Now, sounds pretty good when it comes to flight, huh? Sounds pretty good when it comes to becoming a rocket scientist or making a gazillion dollars because you give your attention to some micro cloud chip flipping flumen. Or whatever it is that appears in your mind as something tangible and necessary to do. But where you've missed the mark entirely, besides the fact that you've forgotten this gift. You see, your mind is taken up. Your mind is taken up with all the wrong things. It is. You don't know it. I know you don't like me to tell you it, but it's true. All you do all day long is try to please yourself, serve yourself in some way. It's all you do. It's all you do. And your spiritual life, the gift you were given that can put you in direct relationship with that, and what words would be adequate, that in direct relationship with the fountain of creativity itself, with all of the elements, all of the essential qualities and characteristics, and whatever unique combinations they can be put into that's possible for a human being to be the instrument of, the direct instrument, like Mozart was the direct instrument of those notes. You are intended to be the direct instrument of the understanding of your own pain, of your own sense of inadequacy, of your own lusts, of your own angers and fears. You're meant to be the direct instrument of the perception of all that is and what it's about. So that you make it tell you all about itself. But you see, when you're afraid, worried, angry, frightened, rushing around, caught up in whatever it is that you're always caught up in, the only thing that you are in a dialogue with is seeing to it that your sense of self stays in place. That's all you're involved in. It's what life is about on this planet for human beings. It's all it is for human beings. Just this, and it is, it's all unconscious. No one's to blame for this. You're not really responsible for a new action until someone has explained to you the truth of it, and then you see it. And after you've seen it, then you're responsible. Then you must take action, or you will go in the wrong direction. It's all under law. But until a person starts to realize, you know, I always defer in the moment of some darkness. I always redirect. I know on the, quotes, positive side, I can take my business, I can take my ambition, I can take some image that I have that I want to draw, or some imagine perfected movement that I'll make in tennis or golf or whatever it is. And I can give my attention to that. And if I stay with it, in spite of the failures, which by the way is another story in itself, if I just stay with it and go through all of the things that are involved in failing and falling forward and finding out what's true, I will eventually learn. This that I love will tell me how to love it better, and I will be more for it. This is part of what one's life is when they have a desire for something. But you have to awaken the desire to understand what's ruining you. You have to awaken the desire to understand your pain. Because until you inwardly get to the place where when these pains, fears, and worries appear, you're willing to say, you know what? I want you to tell me all about yourself. And I'm going to stay right here until you do. And if you stay right there, you will be told. You will learn. Not learn in the sense of some intellectual process by which you can create a set of steps. But you will learn because you will see, and because you see, you will be free. You know, I don't know why it is. I really don't. Other than we have as part of this, in fact, it's tied to it. You know, part of this gift of being able to make whatever you want explain itself to you, that gift goes hand in hand with free will. Because the real free will is our decision what we will serve. And when a person realizes that what I must serve now, before my wish to achieve, arrive, assemble, collect, possess, what I must serve now is this small understanding I have that I have been given the most precious gift in the universe. I am indeed placed in this life with the capacity to create. But what I am given to create must be born of a marriage that is born when I attend to what I am given to attend to and do so willingly for the purpose of understanding myself. Then creation doesn't just serve this idealized progress, this idea of something that you're going to become. The whole idea of becoming disappears then. Because you understand the only reason you're always trying to become something stronger, wiser, more fearless, all the rest of that, is because you haven't had that direct relationship with whatever it is that you're running from and have it tell you its story so thoroughly that you aren't afraid anymore. That you're not worried anymore. That you know what you've been given because you've taken the pains. You've taken the pain to understand it. Who else? It's not I. Who else and where else are you going to find? From who else? From whom? Shoot. Where do you think you're going to get what you need to know from? From where do you think you're going to get what you need to know? You think some angel's going to appear and drop it on you? What you need to know is in you. What troubles you is in you. What betrays you is in you. What liberates you is in you. And liberation is not a moment apart from captivity. Liberation is the full realization of captivity. Because then you are no longer the captive.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org. Receive helpful free gifts, along with a host of life-changing information. That's GuyFinley.org.